Yeah, I wanted to. I'm not used to this, you know, so I know there are a lot of people in here that are probably more. Should actually be standing up here and preaching rather than me, but, you know, because I have a message, you know, that seemed to me. It's so simple that I thought after a while, you know. This is like the milk that is talking about, you know, we need to get to the meat. But the more I looked at it, and just even the confirmations this morning, you know, the Ephesians that was read by Hannelore just confirmed that this is probably what I have to say then, you know, and it is not just milk. It is, you know, it's, you know, you'll see up there. Or I don't know if there's a thing up there, is there something? I called it firmly rooted but free, and you know, it sounds a bit like a paradox. You know, if you root it, then how can you be free? You know, then you're stuck on one place. And but you know, it's, you know, you will see that I will talk a lot about trees because roots, obviously, you know, trees and things. And I want to share a few scriptures that have been, that I've read a lot of times, and but as soon as I meditate on them more, then I really see, you know, what they really mean. You know, and I trust that although this is, like I said, very simple, I trust that the Holy Spirit will touch our hearts this morning, and you know, that we can be truly firmly rooted and free. Can we just pray? Heavenly Father, the words that will be spoken here this morning, Lord, are, Lord, a lot of them have just come out of your word, Lord, and we know that they will accomplish, Lord, what you destined for them to accomplish. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you'll touch our hearts this morning, Lord. You will just take these simple words, Lord, and just make them so alive to us, Lord, that we can but not go from this place without being changed, Lord. Father, we pray that once again we can just see what it means to be truly free and to be truly rooted in the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we just commit this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to just read verse 1 of Psalm 1. I told you this is simple. It's just a 1, you know. And you've heard it many times, I know. It says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. You know, and you might, I've got a picture there of a tree, you know, next to a river there. And that, I was just, you know, when I read this, I know at the front it says about not being, walking with sinners and standing with sinners and sitting with mockers. It kind of builds up, you know, you first walk and you sit, stand and you sit. But what I want to concentrate on is like that tree planted by the streams of water. You know, that picture there just, gives a picture of that tree is solid and it's going to bear fruit. It's green. It will stay green because it's next to that river. But you know, first of all, I want to look what's under the ground there. You know, if a tree is looks like that, then surely there is something underneath there that is healthy. You know, the roots for a tree to be strong and tall like that, it needs to be strong under the ground. The roots need to be strong, and otherwise it will be blown over, or you know, the river might come up and just wash it away. And that is similar in our Christian walk. You know, if our roots need to be firm. You know, and that's where I just kind of picture the roots under the soil. You know, on Tuesday we pray Tuesday morning. It's often, you know, it's where a sermon gets born almost. We prayed about a mustard seed. You know, just having the faith of a mustard seed. But you know, the scriptures talks about that mustard seed that kind of gets into a big tree, you know, and that first root that goes out into the ground is normally what is called, like, at the end of the day will be that tap root, you know, that main root that goes the deepest and you know, lets that tree stand strong and that it doesn't get blown over. And what I thought is, we need to look at what is that root in our life. What is the, you know, if we are the tree and the fruits, you know, I mean, the scripture says he's like a tree planted by the streams of water which yields its fruit in season. Then that root, that main root, what is that? You know, have we really thought about it? And I think some of the songs that we sang this morning just confirmed that to me. You know, I want to just read that a scripture that you've all read many, many times, you know, John 3 verse 16, which I think gives that answer, what that root is, what that root should be in our lives so that we can bear fruit. And it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." So whoever believes in him, in the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, we're saying about the cross that sets me free. You know, whoever believes in the only begotten Son that God gave, that is the root that will let us bear fruit. You know, we must think about, you know, I know this is, you know, probably what I'm saying, you know, you say, man, we've heard all of this before, you know, we've heard this, we know that. But we must think about, you know, where are all these other things coming from that we are doing in our lives? Is it coming from that root, from that we believe in the only begotten Son? You know, is that, and that then we will not perish but have eternal life. Also want to read from Acts 4 verse 10. And when I read that, it's just the disciples, you know, just confirming, you know, that it wasn't the miracle that just happened there, confirming that comes from that root, you know, that, and that's why I want to just kind of repeat it time and time again. You know, that Acts 4 verse 10 says, "It's by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed." It's not because of anything else. It's because of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, you know, who was crucified and whom God raised from the dead. You know, that needs to be our firm foundation. You know, there are other scriptures that talks about if we build our house on the sand, that it will be washed away. And it is like that. If we build our, you know, we can build our foundations on good works, on how much money we give to the poor. If we think if that is what we think is a firm foundation, then we're mistaken. We can serve on hundreds of committees. You know, we can even speak in tongues. We can, you know, I can put a lot of lists before us, but the thing that I want to stress is our foundation needs to be on Jesus Christ, that we believe in the Lord, in the death on the cross, the blood that was shed on the cross, that is what is the firm foundation. The blood that was shed that forgives our sin and his resurrection are the only things that saves us. I mean, the scripture says that, you know, that confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead and you will be saved. You know, if we have a clear understanding of that, I think a lot of other things, you know, that the giving that we do, the, you know, the committees we serve on and all of that, they will just be the fruits that come out of that. You know, and like I said, I know that I may not tell you anything new, but do we actually sometimes just sit back and think about that, truly think about that? And you know, when we sing some of these songs here, that it is, you know, how can it be, you know, that he, you know, died for me, you know, that his blood was shed on the cross. You know, that was, when we read the scripture, the word, that's what it's all about. You know, it's really the death of the Lord Jesus Christ is what can give you a firm foundation. And we need to really believe that. You know, at times we forget that in our busy lives and in our, you know, wanting to do things. We need to know that we have been saved by grace. You know, it's by grace that we've been saved through faith. The scripture says, you know, faith in the blood that was shed by Jesus Christ on that cross. You know, and I'm emphasizing this a lot, you know, to say that must be our firm foundation. And that we should, you know, where it says in Psalm 1 that we must meditate on it day and night. It says on his law he meditates day and night. And I was thinking about that, and I thought on the word, meditate on the word day and night. But is it not the death on the cross? And then I kind of thought about the word that became flesh, you know. And, you know, it is that we must meditate on his word day and night so that we can be like a tree planted next to the river that will yield its fruit in season. You know, and all the other roots that come from that main root. And I've got to put a little picture up there that, you know, that I thought can just illustrate that if we have, you know, that root in the middle is that Jesus Christ of Nazareth, crucified, risen again, you know, then all the other things, that the prayer, the fellowship, you know, all of these things will just be healthy. There will be a blessing. They will make the tree stronger. They will give it, you know, make it bigger and larger, and we'll stay firm, you know. But if we think that our good works will be the things that will keep that tree strong, then we must think again, you know. And that we think about, why am I praying? Why am I serving? Why am I giving? You know, and that to me, the illustration there is just the picture that I came at the end of the day, came up with to say, you know, how great it will be, you know, that we will be that tree next to that river, strong, bear fruit in us in season, and you know, really be a blessing to all around us, you know, and feel free, you know. And that is what I want to come to now, is, you know, the thing from firmly rooted, and I just kind of wanted to form that picture of being firmly rooted, and that the center is that taproot. But to be free, you know, what we see of a tree is just what's above the ground, this massive tree, you know. And we know what I've just said is, we know that it has to be healthy underground for a tree to be free. You know, we hear so much I say, for a tree to be free, free to look like the way it looks. And the same with us. You know, there's so many things that we hear. You know, people want to be free. You know, children saying, we want the freedom, we want freedom. We want to be free to decide what to do. We want to be free to decide what we want to look at, where we want to go. You know, nations actually go to war and talk about, we want our freedom, you know. And I want to, you know, have us look at the Bible and just see some examples of what real freedom is like. You know, and in Acts 5, verse 40, there's a little, you know, account, and I will focus on a few scriptures in Acts just to illustrate how I think, you know, the apostles were free. They were really these trees next to the river there, you know, and Acts 5, verse 40 says, they called the apostles in and had them flogged. Then they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus, and then let them go. Then the apostles left the Sanhedrin, rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. You know, rejoicing because they have been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name of the Lord. You know, it's just they were just flogged, but I think they were free. Rejoicing because their root, they knew who they believed in. They knew that it is the Lord Jesus Christ who had died on the cross for them, that they could rejoice even being flogged. And that's so different from what we hear, you know, often over television and all over. But let's look at the next scripture, Acts 7. It's a little bit further on. There are lots of accounts of that, but I will... You know, in verse 59, it says, while they were stoning him, that is now Stephen prayed, Lord, receive my spirit. Then he fell on his knees and he cried out, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. You know, it's just blows one's mind when you think, you know, here's somebody that is being stoned by people, you know, and he prays, Lord Jesus. He said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit, because he knew who he believed in. He knew that this physical suffering, you know, they cannot take away his soul. You know, he was truly rooted in the Lord Jesus Christ. And to cry out, Lord, do not hold the sin against them, is truly being free. You know, that is not having, you know, issues that you can't deal with. It is truly being free. Now this event, I mean, it speaks to me about this absolute freedom that that Stephen had. And then just a little bit further, there's another account. And it was... you know, they were in prison at the time there. It's Acts 16, verse 23. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. Upon receiving such orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. You know, having been free, they were free. You know, with their feet fastened in the stocks, they were free to worship him, to pray, to sing hymns. And here were others listening to them. You know, indeed, it's freedom that is different than what we get bombarded with in this world. This is true freedom. And We can have this true freedom if we are truly rooted in the Lord Jesus Christ. We would be free to talk about our Savior, free to show kindness, and that's the fruit of the tree. You know, the fruit of the Spirit, the kindness, free to show true love. But also to be free to forgive someone, even if the person was wrong in the first place. You know, if we think about the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, hanging on the cross and also saying, Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. You know, we can be free even if we have our feet fastened in stocks. We can be free in every circumstance. And you know, the branches of the tree, and I've just put another picture there of the branches being, you know, of that tree being next to the river. The branches will display whether we are free in the Lord Jesus Christ, free to have that fruit in season, to be green all year round. You know, and we have to understand, we must not be fooled that freedom is something like having the freedom of choice. You know, I have the freedom to decide whether I can gamble or not. I have the freedom to choose whether I can get drunk or not. You know, we must not be fooled that freedom is having the choice, you know, to have an abortion. That is not freedom. You know, freedom is not to covet your neighbor's possession and then call it, you know, now I'm just being ambitious. You know, I read that this week somewhere freedom is also not to say I can decide whether I look at pornography or not. That's not freedom. Freedom is what the picture of the tree. Freedom is to be patient, to be kind, to really know that you are your foundation is in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the Lord said, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. In this word, that's the way to freedom. If you love me, you will obey my commandments. You know, and once again, I just have to stress that if you feel that you are not free, then go and search your heart. And I want to, you know, we're going to, this morning, you know, break the bread and drink the wine as a symbol of the Lord Jesus Christ's death. And that, I think, is just a symbol also of this freedom that the world does not understand. You know, the word says, do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father, but it's of this world. Now, I'm not trying to condemn anyone, you know. I'm trying to just stand up here and know that, you know, I'm actually receiving the message first, you know. In a little few nanoseconds, you see it after me. But I'm standing up here and, you know, preaching a word. As I prepared this, I thought, as we were singing, you know, that it is really good sometimes to be forced into the situation. You know, I thought Janko is in Johannesburg and Theo is not here. And I thought, yeah, that's good. Eh? Now they throw me to the lions, you know. But, you know, really as one, and I, you know, as I looked at this message, like a message, as I said before, you know, it's just so, it just overwhelmed me even while we were singing, you know, that if we just think about again about the death of Jesus Christ, the creator of the universe, on the cross, so that we can be free, his blood that sets us free, you know, then we can say, you know, openly and you know, say as the psalmist said, my help comes from the Lord, the maker of the heaven and earth. You know, that is, you know, just that you can say it and it just overwhelms you. Or another psalm says, my soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from him. You know, from from God alone. And there are so many examples, you know, with Joshua, when, you know, he said, but for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. You know, and I think Job, you know, said that, you know, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You know, and, you know, we've been made free in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I, you know, the message is not long, but it is just, to me, it was just a thought. We need to come back. We need to come to this place. And I don't know your lives. You know, some of you I know better than others. But, you know, I don't know where you are in your life at this stage, you know. And if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, then I think it's what we, when we go through and take the, you know, break the bread and drink the orange juice or the grape juice, you know, just come before the Lord. And I want to ask, I don't know who's going to, you know, give out the, but as they give out that the bread and the grape juice, I want to read Ephesians 2, verse 4 to 10. And it just kind of encapsulates to me, and it was such a blessing when Hannah Laura actually read part of this verse this morning. Ephesians 2, verse 4 says, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. God made us alive with Christ. He made us free with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgression. So, you know, we can be made alive with Christ, and only with Christ. It's by grace that you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ. He raised us up and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. It always just, again and again, focuses on that it is Christ Jesus. In order that it, in the coming ages we might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. And this not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. God wants us to be big trees. He wants us to bear fruit in season. He wants us to be, you know, give shade to those that need shade. And for us to be those big trees and to bear that fruit, he's prepared it for us in advance. We need to know that we are free, made alive through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is the truth that will set you free. There is no other truth other than the truth that it's a free gift from God. Jesus Christ's death on the cross. So if we can just you know, bow our heads and I'll just pray while the rest of the orange juice and bread is being given out. Lord, we just come this morning, Lord, again to you, and we pray that for this morning, if we are sitting in here, Lord, and have just come, Lord, just to be in church on a Sunday morning, Lord, we pray that you will talk with us, Lord. Talk, Father, that we can truly know where our roots are, Lord. That we know it is the death and the resurrection, the blood of Jesus Christ that saves us, that sets us free. Father, and as we take off this bread and this grape juice, Lord, we want to be reminded of that death that took place somewhere there in Israel, Lord. Just a few people around the cross, Lord, and you being nailed to the cross. And Lord, going through that pain, and that is what sets us free today, Lord. The blood, the death. Just because, Lord, you went to that cross that we can be here this morning, Lord, and know that we've been set free. Father, I pray that as we partake of this bread, Lord, that it is indeed, Lord, you took that bread and you broke it and you said to your disciples, Lord, you said, this is my body broken for you. And we do this in remembrance, Lord, that you broke your body for us. Let's just take the bread and just remember that it's a sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we also thank you for the blood that was shed, the blood that takes away sin, Lord, that cleanses us from sin so that we can be free and we can just display the fruit of the Spirit, Lord. We just thank you for that, Lord, and we thank you that you shed the blood, the perfect sacrifice. We just drink this symbol, Lord, this morning, remembering that you died for us. And we just worship you and thank you for that. We're going to close off now, but if there's anybody this morning here that does not know the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to ask you that you after people start leaving, just come to the front and I'll pray with you, and I'll ask some of the other elders and that to come up here and that we can pray with you, and if you feel that I need to reestablish, just get close to the Lord again and just say, Lord, I tried to do these things on my own, then just come that we can pray with you, and I really encourage you that in the week, go to the small groups. We'll talk about this, we'll talk about other things, but we just need to know it's the Lord Jesus Christ, his death on the cross, that will set you free. Free to be really free. Have peace with God. Have the knowledge that you are free even in all circumstances. So let us just close off in prayer and then we'll... Father, we just praise you for this meeting this morning, and just for a renewed understanding, Lord, or maybe just a reminder, Lord, of the sacrifice that you did on the cross. Father, that we may never leave and go out into the world, Lord, and do these good works, Lord, these things, and think that we'll accomplish, Lord, things in our own strength. But, Lord, that we will do the works that you have already prepared for us. Lord, because we believe in the death and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that we are saved through faith. Lord, we just pray that you'll bless each and everyone that came here this morning, and that we indeed will be effective as we leave out and go into the mission field. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Okay, if you want some prayer, please just feel free to come up.
Times I fail, still your mercy remains. Should I stumble again, still I'm caught in your grace. Everlasting, your light will shine well on this place. Never ending, your glory. Consume me from inside, Lord. Let justice and praise.
What does your report say? I'm not going to ask you a question. If you don't have to answer it, it's it.